is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thanks to Sarah Downs for her engineering assistance. Longtime listeners may remember Sarah's animal rights show, Animal Matters, which later became Sentience. Welcome back to the station, Sarah, and thanks so much for helping out.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by Vegan Activist Rockers Rise Against.
If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, visit us online at nonhumanradio.com. This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Tom signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
Go vegan.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. This is Sarah Downs sitting in for Sue Hildebrand. The Real Issue is a public affairs talk show, and we are here every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. We can also be heard live through the internet at kzfr.org, or you can listen to the archives from our website. You can also follow The Real Issue on Facebook and Twitter. I am hearing an echo. I don't know if you guys are hearing that. My apologies if you are. Are you feeling overwhelmed by a personal loss? Are you feeling anxious and sad about the uncertainties of our global crises? These are just a few of the questions being asked by the organizers of a three-day workshop that focuses on grief, scheduled to take place in the Chico area on October 7th through the 9th. The workshop is called Gifts for Grief. The invitation to participate in the workshop describes the weekend in this way, quote, "In a supportive community, the experience of grieving can be made conscious and empowering. We can intentionally open to the unexpected gifts of meaning, joy, and purpose inherent in what we most dread," end quote. Sue spoke with facilitator Carolyn Baker to find out more about this provocative workshop. Carolyn Baker, PhD, is a life coach, former psychotherapist, and professor of history and psychology, and author of Dark Gold, The Human Shadow, and The Global Crisis. Here is Sue with Carolyn Baker.
I care not at all for planet.
Sorry about that. Here we go.
To greater minds than mine and nimbler.
Just kidding. Here we go again. Thanks. And I am happy to welcome you to The Real Issue, Carolyn Baker.
Well, it's wonderful to be here today. Thank you for having me.
So in your three-day workshop, it's called The Gifts of Grief, Grief as Sacred Work, which is being offered in the Chico area in October. I want to start by asking you to clarify, what kind of grief are you talking about? I mean, is it personal grief, for example, the loss of a loved one, or for some folks that I know, real grief about climate change?
Well, my short answer is yes. It's all of those. One of the things I ask people to do in preparation for this workshop is to read Francis Weller's book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow. Francis is a therapist down in Sonoma County. And in this book, he talks about the five gates of grief. The first gate being just the personal losses that we have. He says everything we lose, we will love. So many of us have many, many losses that we're grieving in our lives over time. The second gate he talks about is the places in ourself that have not known love, meaning things that we're ashamed of or regrets that we have, things that we need to forgive ourselves for. The third gate of grief is the sorrows of the world, and that is the planetary grief that many of us are feeling right now about climate change and species extinction. The fourth gate of grief has to do with our personal wounds, what we expected that we did not receive, wounds that we've, you know, have brought from childhood. And finally, the fifth gate, and this is one that we focus on quite a bit, is ancestral grief. The grief of many generations of ancestors before us that we carry with us in our bones. And, you know, there's quite a bit of new information coming out now about how we actually carry some of the trauma that our ancestors experienced. So these are all the different aspects of grief that we're going to be dealing with in the workshop.
And Carolyn Baker, it's an interesting one. Before we move on, I want to sort of pause for a second and acknowledge that ancestral grief. It's one that I think a lot of folks have a hard time grasping. And I always think of it as, you know, if there's a, for example, my somebody very close to my grandmother was raped, you know, and this is a couple generations ago. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's what you mean. It's that sort of passing down of grief and shame that maybe we don't even verbalize, even if the stories we don't tell each other, but somehow maybe through energetically or through osmosis even, that we pass down that grief.
Well, absolutely. And there's no way that the grief of our ancestors, whatever they were carrying, that they hadn't mourned or they hadn't even acknowledged, is going to be, you know, carried on by us, because the way they raised us, the way they treated us, the way they were able to provide for us or not, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in all ways, has a lot to do with their own wounding and the things that they suffered. And it goes back generations and generations.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's so interesting. Well, Carolyn Baker, I'm one to always say, let's pause and talk about or define the terms. And so if you could define for us, what do you mean by grief?
What I mean by grief is the loss that we carry within ourselves that we may not even be aware of, and some of it we are aware of, but it's loss. It really comes down to loss, whether that's wounding, whether that's abandonment, whether that's grief for the loss that's going on in the planet. It really does come down to loss and having the sorrow. This ongoing sorrow that we may not even be aware of. Mm-hmm. When people get into a workshop like this, where they have safety and permission to feel these feelings, a lot of stuff comes up that they weren't even aware was there. So it really does come down to sorrow over loss.
Mm-hmm. And Carolyn Baker, it's interesting that you know, it's this, the idea of we don't even acknowledge that grief. And what I find so interesting is that we live in a society where we absolutely avoid it at
absolutely.
All costs.
Yep.
We refuse, and we distract ourselves, and we self-medicate, and we mm-hmm. do all of those things. And so I'm wondering, why would somebody want to uncover that grief?
Because deep within ourselves, we know that the grief is there. And, you know, even if we self-medicate, even if we distract, something in us knows. And people that tend to come to these workshops are people that are already sensing that, you know, this is going on within them. Or, you know, maybe they've recently experienced some kind of big loss that has stirred things for them. And so they're drawn. I think people are drawn to this kind of event. And what people are really looking for is a safe place where there is permission, because we live in a grief-phobic, death-phobic culture where, you know, if you're lucky, you might have bereavement leave for 5 days at your job, and then you're supposed to come back and get over it, you know, because, you know, you got to do your job, and we don't want you to bring other people down and that sort of thing. The permission that we have to acknowledge and feel our grief in this culture is almost non-existent, and very different from a lot of indigenous cultures around the world, which is where much of my grief workshop comes from, and we can talk about that at some point if you want to.
Absolutely. And I want to mention, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. We are talking with Carolyn Baker, who will be facilitating a workshop here in the Chico area in October, and it's called The Gifts of Grief. It's a three-day workshop, and Carolyn Baker, you bring up this idea of this kind of workshop allows us, it gives us permission to address and work with our own grief, and I understand that, but it's a curious title. And so when you talk about the gifts of grief, talk about why on earth we would consider grief being actually a gift.
Well, in this culture, we're taught that it's not a gift. It's some sort of curse. It's something we need to avoid like the plague. But when people consciously grieve with the, you know, in a safe place and with the support of other people, what they discover, and people are always telling me this after the workshops, that they feel lighter, that they feel like a huge weight has been lifted. A lot of times people will say, you know, I woke up today after the grief ritual yesterday and I feel so much lighter. I can even see colors better. I have so much gratitude in my heart for life. And, you know, and last night after the ritual, I just felt like laughing. I felt silly. I felt joyful. You know, these are the kinds of things that people report and sort of discover the incredible, amazing experience of being able to grieve in a safe and supportive environment, and then discovering the shift that happens within themselves that produces more lightness, more joy, more gratitude. See, I believe that grief and joy travel together. The wonderful poet Mary Oliver says, "Grief and joy, what a time these two have, housed as they are in the same body." And so I think grief is intimately connected with joy, and joy with grief. And grief is love. If we really love something, we're going to grieve the loss of it. And that's why these five gates of grief, whichever ones they are, they have to do with love. When we grieve, we're expressing love. So there are many, many gifts that come to us as a result of grieving.
Mm-hmm. And Carolyn Baker, you talk about the lightness. I think of grief as a rock in my pocket. And it's a rock that I don't know about. And I sometimes even count it as part of my weight. Like, it's who I am. And when I get on the scale, I include that rock. And I almost feel like through these kinds of exploration, we identify the rock and pull it out of our pocket and let it go. And your metaphor, I thought, was so wonderful, this lightness. And so I'm wondering if that's part of how you work with the idea of grief energetically, or, you know, and through these workshops. How do you do the workshops?
Well, how we do the workshop, first let me address the rock thing, and then I'll talk about how
okay.
we do the workshop. I don't see it so much as letting go of the rock, but acknowledging the rock, nurturing the rock, giving it a place, giving it space, giving it respect, giving it love. And then the rock kind of transforms into something else. You know, grief is about tears. It's about water. It's fluid. It flows. And so as we allow it, then it tends to flow and move, you know, throughout the system, throughout the body and the emotions. And certainly there's more grief, because I'm not sure that we ever get to the bottom of all of our grief. But by allowing it and nurturing it, we allow it to move and change. And how we do the workshop is we come together on Friday night, and we get to know each other through dialogue, through small group exercises, through dyads, through writing exercises, and we just create a safe space where we kind of get to know that we're all in this together, our stories are not that different, and we just acknowledge our presence together. And then the next morning we come back and we do a little bit more of that and get increasingly comfortable with each other and with our pain. People share poetry. Sometimes we share songs. And then all of this is preparation for us in the afternoon to do a formal grief ritual, which comes from the Dagara tribe of West Africa. and I can talk about that tribe a little bit at some point if you want me to. But the people get together frequently and share their grief with each other. We have a shrine that people can go up to and discharge their grief. And when they come back from there, we make sure that they're greeted. After they've discharged their grief, we make sure that they come back and they're greeted, that they're not alone, that people say, oh, good job, we support you, thank you for that, you're helping the whole community by doing that. And that ritual tends to go on, there's drumming, there's chanting, tends to go on for a couple of hours until everybody has gone up to the shrine as much as they want and come back. And then we stop the ritual, we kind of sit down and be with each other, share what the experience was for us. Usually the evening is a night off where, you know, sometimes people are very tired, or sometimes people want to get together and play, or sometimes people just want to go to bed early. And then we just come back together on Sunday morning and begin to share a little bit overall how the weekend was for us, if anything is still kind of left over that we want to talk about. And then we end up leaving the ritual or leaving the weekend around noon, and we have some time to talk about reentry and how do you go back into the world after you've been to this very special experience. Generally people report that this was a unique and extremely nurturing and supportive experience that a lot of people say, I want to do this again at some point.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. We are talking with Carolyn Baker, who will be the facilitator of a very interesting, we're talking about the workshop now, Gifts of Grief. And she is a former psychotherapist and professor of history and psychology. So, Carolyn Baker, one of the comments that you made, you said, I don't know if we ever get to the bottom of our grief. And that comment, that sentence right there, that idea, brought up a lot for me. And it reminds me, we never get back to the bottom of our grief. And it reminds me of a friend who said, I was encouraging her to come with me to a meditation retreat. And she said, I'm afraid to start crying because I'm worried I'll never stop.
Right. That's a very common fear that people have. And what I say about that is a couple of things. In the word emotion is the word motion. So when we allow emotions, they grow, they change, they flow, especially grief, because grief is water. The body has these kind of built-in safeguards that when we start crying, our nose runs and we want to reach for a Kleenex, or we shed tears, we want to wipe our eyes. And the way that grief flows is not in a continual stream, but little spurts here and little spurts there, and then it subsides and then it comes again. It's very wave-like. It's a very common fear that people have. Oh, if I start crying, I'll never stop. Well, you know, you would very easily feel that way in a culture that tells you, shut it up, damn it up, repress it, stop it. You know, we know that there's an ocean of grief and tears in there. And the thought is, oh, my God, you know, I've got the whole Pacific Ocean in my heart. You know, if I start tapping into it, it'll never stop. Well, it will stop. And it will come and go in waves, and it'll come back, and it'll change and flow, and it'll be different next time. But, you see, I believe that grief is a doorway. I was in Chico last year in October. I spoke at the Peace and Justice Center, also spoke in Grass Valley, and I did a half-day workshop in Nevada City. We talked a lot about grief, and actually some of the people that were involved in that work asked me to come back and do this workshop, which is the reason I'm doing it in Chico. Out of those events, a small grief group was started, which I think has been meeting regularly since then. People really sense that this is real. This is a place where we can be real with each other in a way that we cannot be in this culture. And it's safe and supportive You know, there are some notions about grief. One that I'm thinking of is the grief recovery movement, which does a lot of good things, does a lot of good work with people in grief. But the theory is we should get rid of our grief. Get rid of it, be done with it, you know, put it behind you and make sure it's over. And rather than that, I see grief as a doorway. Grief as a doorway, not only to more grief, but to joy, to deeper relationships, to deeper spirituality, to more meaning and purpose in our lives. And so that's one reason I do grief work, is because of where it tends to take us, and those are the gifts of grief.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn Baker, I want to ask you about the Dagorin tribe of West Africa, those traditions and those rituals and those practices that you incorporate into this workshop.
Right. The actual ritual that we do on a Saturday afternoon is has come from the Dagara, that's D-A-G-A-R-A, tribe in West Africa, Burkina Faso. And some people may have heard of Maladoma Somme and Sobanfu Somme, who came to this country about 20 years ago and brought some of these traditions with them. I had the privilege of studying with both Maladoma and Sobanfu when I lived in Sonoma County, and I was able to, you know, experience some of these grief rituals. And the tribe is very interesting, the Dagara people, because they really believe that grief is very, very important in their lives. They believe that if we do not grieve on a regular basis, we carrying our grief become toxic to the community. And I completely agree with this. I have seen this over and over again, that when we don't grieve, we become toxic to ourselves and to other people. And so they usually have a grief ritual maybe once a week or several times a month, where the people come together and they do this grieving ritual, and they support each other in the process of this, and then they go on with their lives. They usually have a big feast and celebration afterwards. Francis Weller, who wrote this book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, visited the Dagara tribe a few years ago, and he was present for one of these grief rituals, and he says that afterwards, he was walking around the village and he saw this woman that was just beaming. She was just radiating, smiling. And he stopped her and he said, I bet you didn't go to the grief ritual. You look so happy. And she goes, oh, no, I went. I always go. And the reason I smile is because I cry all the time. So these people know something that we don't know or have forgotten. Or don't let ourselves know, and it's a very beautiful ritual.
And I did watch a video it was through your website, and it was an interview with Francis Weller, the author of The Wild Edge of Sorrow, and he talked about this idea of, and I'm paraphrasing, a person's ability to appreciate joy is somehow equal to our ability to feel grief. And this idea, and I think of it in terms of, you know, our range of emotions that we're capable of experiencing. And I'm wondering if I'm interpreting that correctly.
You absolutely are. I'd like to say a little bit more about that video, which is on my website, and it's on our Facebook page. We have a Gifts of Grief Facebook page. People can go there and make comments or just check it out. And so Francis Weller, who wrote this wonderful book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, and attended the grief rituals in West Africa, talks about a flatline culture. He calls us a flatline culture because our range of emotion is very limited in this culture. You're not supposed to get too sad. You're not supposed to, you know, if you do, wear sunglasses. Notice how many people go to funerals and wear sunglasses. We're not supposed to get too angry. We're not supposed to get too anything. Even we're not supposed to get too happy, because somebody would think we're bipolar and manic and we'd have to take, you know, antidepressants or whatever. And so there's just this kind of flatline range. It's kind of like a hum. of nothingness mm-hmm. in this culture that we're not allowed really to go beyond. And when we are confined to just a certain degree of emotion, and we're all just supposed to live in our heads and not feel too much, of course that's going to repress our capacity to experience and appreciate and share joy.
Mm.
So he says in his book, the deeper the sorrow, the greater the joy. And I believe it was William Blake who originally said that. The deeper the sorrow, the greater the joy.
Oh, okay. I thought I made that up, so... If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. Carolyn Baker, one of the things that you threw out there, you said how many people go to a funeral wearing sunglasses, and this idea of you can't share your grief. And one of the things that struck me as I was learning about this workshop is this sense of community in working through our grief. And one of the things that came to me was the expression, misery loves company. And I have always interpreted that, I know I'm not interpreting it the way it's sort of meant, but I always think of, yeah, misery loves company. That's why I don't want to be around miserable people, because it'll bring out my misery. And I don't want to be involved in that. And so I want to ask you, why is it so important to be in community?
Well, here's the thing. This is not misery loves company. This is sorrow loves company. Sorrow really does love company. We were not designed as human beings to carry this sorrow alone. We were designed to share it. All indigenous people know that. The sharing of sorrow is such an integral part of indigenous communities. Mm. And so that's one of the things that makes the difference about going to a grief ritual as opposed to just going in your room and having a good cry. Now, I think it's great to go in your room and have a good cry. I do it from time to time myself. But when you can share that with somebody else and feel supported and not shamed, and you get this sense of common humanity, it's really a sharing of love.
Mm.
It's a love feast is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so sorrow loves company, and sorrow loves to be honored and cherished and celebrated. And yes, you know, it's a very different experience when we can do this with each other and honor each other for doing it, as opposed to having to be alone with it.
And to be ashamed of it, I think.
Yes, that's
what
the big thing.
Yeah, it's
a big thing.
Yeah, it's a. These are emotions that we pretend don't exist in this culture. It's fascinating. And as you say, it's not good for us as community if we don't address our own grief.
Well, it absolutely is unhealthy.
Exactly. And Carolyn Baker, let's get some of the details so people are interested in pursuing this. It's a 3-day workshop. It's October 7th, 8th, and 9th. How can people learn more about it and even register?
They can go directly to my website at carolynbaker.net. Right there in the homepage, when you come under the homepage, there it is. Ritual, a grief workshop in Chico, California, October 7th through 9th. You can go there. You can learn more about it. You can register right then and there. If people want to ask me questions about it, feel free. My email is carolyn@carolynbaker.net. There are also people locally that folks can talk with. Jeanette Colbert is one of my people on the ground there, and she would be happy to talk with you. So by all means, check it out, learn more, talk to us, and please consider joining us on October 7th.
And if for folks that are interested and you want to connect with Jeanette, if you want her, I have her email, but it's a little on the wacky side. It's easy to just send an email to sue@kzfr.org. Easy to remember, sue@kzfr.org. And I'll forward your emails to either Carolyn or to Jeanette and get you connected in that way.
So, thank you so much.
Yeah, Carolyn, one more quick question for you is, again, give us your website. And it's an amazing website. And talk about some of the things that people can learn about, read about, and pursue on your website.
Thank you so much for that. carolynbaker.net. It's about my work. I have been for a number of years looking at cultural trends and world events. One of the things I do every single day, 7 days a week, and have for the last 8 years, unless I'm traveling, is produce a very complete daily news digest, subscription-based, that deals with economics, the environment, geopolitical issues, civil liberties, cultural issues, and then I always have a section in there that provides some inspiration and some good news. You can find out about that under subscribe at my website. I've written a number of books on all sorts of topics, and most recently, in the last 10 years or so, books on what is going on in the planet and how we can deal with it emotionally and spiritually. I have a podcast, a regular podcast, that is publicized every Monday morning. It's on Facebook. You can check out all of those podcasts and find them on my website. I also do life coaching. For people who want to go deeper into any of these topics, sometimes people want spiritual counseling. I'm available for that. And so all of these things you can find out about at my website, carolynbaker.net.
Carolyn Baker, thank you so much. Facilitator of the upcoming workshop, The Gifts of Grief.
That was Carolyn Baker, facilitator for Gifts of Grief. Gifts of Grief workshop scheduled for October 7th through 9th. Stay tuned for a conversation with folks from Stonewall Alliance about the many events happening this weekend for Chico Pride. You are listening to The Real Issue on FM 90.1 KZFR in Chico.
This Friday marks the beginning of the local three-day celebration called Chico Pride, organized by the Stonewall Alliance. According to their website, the Stonewall Alliance is committed to cultivating a safe, open, inclusive environment for all members of the gender and sexual minority and ally community. Stonewall Alliance unites, strengthens, and affirms the community through support, resources, education, advocacy, and celebration. Sue spoke with Tom Kellum, the executive director of the Stonewall Alliance, and Mia Rand, Chico Pride organizer with Stonewall Alliance, to find out more about the celebration and specific events happening.
Happy to welcome the two of you to The Real Issue, Tom and Maya.
Hi, thank you for having us, Sue.
Tom, let's start with you as the executive director of Stonewall Alliance. Just give us an overview of the work of the Stonewall Alliance here in Chico and maybe even connect it to the national movement that started in the 1960s.
There is so much that goes on here. We are a very, very busy agency. We have programs where we do counseling for people in our community. We do education and outreach. We provide a lot of trainings for professionals, for caregivers, for healthcare providers in education as well. And we speak to students. We also have trainings that are open to the public that anybody can come to. It's really a big part of what we do these days because there's such a need for people to really understand what being a competent provider and caregiver is. And that's, you know, it's one thing to be friendly, to be accepting. It's another thing to really know how to be welcoming and respectful and provide a really safe place for people who have experienced a lot of trauma in their lives.
Tom Kellum, you bring up a good point, and as I listen to you, you brought up a lot of services that we can get in a lot of different places in our community, and very specifically, Stonewall Alliance offers services to the LGBTQ community, and that acronym is always interesting to me. There's always another letter. And as I was on the Stonewall Alliance website, a new one came up for me, GSM. Talk about what that means, because as I read that, I thought, holy cow, I am not keeping up.
GSM stands for Gender and Sexual Minorities, and we've started using that as a more inclusive term. Just like you were saying, the letters and identities represented by those letters keep growing, and more people want to be clear about how they identify. And to respect that, we keep adding letters to the acronym, and it gets confusing and cumbersome. And so we've been looking for a way to just have an umbrella term that everybody could feel they're included in. And GSM seems to be what we've landed on. And so that's gender and sexual minorities.
Maya Rand, advocacy coordinator at Stonewall, and also you are the Pride Weekend coordinator. If you would start by just giving us a sense of, just explain what it means. What is Pride?
Well, the Chico Pride is just a community event that brings together everybody from all over the community. It's, you know, our gender and sexual minority folks, and then also our allies and just community services and businesses through the community that can all come together and celebrate and share space and a great weekend.
And why is this an important weekend? When you came in, I hadn't expected you, so I don't know who you are. And Tom corrected me and said, basically, you have the wrong pronoun. And so as somebody that uses a pronoun that doesn't necessarily identify with the gender binary, why is this kind of weekend important to you, Maya Rand?
So this weekend is really important, I think, for the entire GSM community to create visibility and inclusion and empowerment. And then about my pronouns, I identify as non-binary, and so I use they, them pronouns. I spent a long time in my life trying to just figure out where I fit into this whole gender thing. I really tried really hard to be female for a very long time, from, you know, birth to into my 20s, when I realized that that just really didn't fit. And then from there, I really tried on the male identity, and that definitely didn't fit for me either. So I was in this, found myself in this place of just not fitting into the gender binary, and then getting information from friends and from community education and things like that, that there are other folks like me that just don't fall into that binary. And so since male and female don't feel right to me, and the pronouns that go with those two genders don't feel right to me, they, them just really is the only thing that feels appropriate, I guess.
And so, Maya Rand, how can I be respectful and engage? Like when you walked in, I referred to you in the wrong pronoun. How do I address that? How do I come to you with dignity and to respect your wishes?
That's a really good question, Sue, and thank you so much for asking. What we talk about in our office and in our trainings is the best place to start is just not assuming. Not assuming people's gender identity just based on what you see on the outside, and not assuming even sexual orientation also is really important. You can't tell those things just by looking at a person. And I understand where it comes from. We are taught from a very young age what makes boys boys and what makes girls girls. And science and just people's personal experiences are showing us that that's actually really false information. So you can't tell just by looking at somebody how they identify, who they are attracted to, how they feel about themselves or other people.
So Maya Rand, talk about, you discussed what is Chico Pride and the coming together of community. Let's get down to some of the details. It starts this Friday and it goes through the weekend. And so talk about some of the events that are happening here in Chico.
Well, we are really excited to bring back some old favorites and then some new things. So I'll just start from Friday. We have the variety show, and we have Tucker Noir, who is started doing drag here in Chico and moved away about a year ago, is coming back to Chico to produce this show this year, and it is looking amazing. It's definitely a show that you don't want to miss. Yeah, that is going to be held at the Chico Women's Club.
Okay.
And then we have at Trinity Methodist Church, there will be a free teen dance with a 20s theme, and that should be very exciting for the teens. So that's for folks who are 13 to 17. And then the variety show is 18 and up, and there will be a no host bar there for folks who are of age. Then Saturday, we have our festival in the park, and we have heard requests from our community for a pride parade. So this year, we are going to try out something new with a small wagon float parade, which should be fun and exciting and cute. So please make sure you're there for that. It'll be kicking off at 10 o'clock with everything else.
And that's downtown plaza?
Yes, at the downtown plaza.
Okay.
Thank you. And then during that time, starting at 2 o'clock at the Chico Women's Club, we will also be having our Fierce and Fun Queer Sounds, which is basically going to be live music and the no-host bar at the Chico Women's Club. So you can go from the plaza over to the Chico Women's Club to, you know, get a beer or whatever, listen to some music, cool off because there will be air conditioning there, and then come back to the plaza for more booths and entertainment. That night, we have our adult dance, which will be starting at 8 o'clock and go until midnight. And then we have our official after party will be at the Maltese. Then Sunday morning.
This is a huge marathon of activities.
It absolutely is.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay, Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, we have our free brunch in the park. It will be at Oak Grove Park in Lower Bidwell. And that is being catered and donated by Leon Bistro. It's amazing.
Mm.
It's probably my favorite part of the weekend because I get to sit down and just eat and enjoy myself.
Yeah, right. Boy, after 2 days of partying.
Absolutely. And then that evening at the Pageant Theater, we will be having another new addition to Pride Weekend, which is a mini film festival. We'll be showing Real Boy and The Year We Thought About Love, plus some shorts.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. We are talking with Maya Rand and Tom Kellum from Stonewall Alliance about all of the activities that are happening this weekend to celebrate Chico Pride. Starts on Friday night in a few different places at the Chico Women's Club and at Trinity Methodist. There's a variety show, a drag show at the Chico Women's Club on Friday night, and for teens at Trinity Methodist Church, and the events go through the weekend. So, Maya Rand or Tom Kellum, what do you say to people that are listening and they say, I don't know, I don't identify as GSM. I actually identify in one of those gender binaries. Is this weekend for those listeners?
Absolutely. It's for everybody. It's if you identify as a gender minority, as a sexual minority, if you're just an ally, if you want to just come and party with us, as long as you're respectful, we want you there. Mm-hmm. So this is really for everybody. And it's even for the folks who just want to learn more about the community. Everybody is welcome. This is Stonewall Chico Pride, emphasis on Chico. So it's for our community.
Well, Tom Kellum, let me drag you back into this conversation. Is because I wanted to bring you onto the show several weeks back, right after the Orlando shooting. And you had scheduling conflict. But what I want to ask, what Maya Rand just talked about was these events are open to everybody regardless of how you identify. And she brought up the word allies. And so I want to ask you to talk about being an ally to the GSM community and what is being offered in terms of acknowledging the Orlando shootings, and how can someone like me that does identify in the binary, how can I be a good ally?
Wow, that's a lot.
Sorry, pick any one of those questions and just go for it.
I think, you know, being an ally is someone that learns about a community and supports them and is there to be able to be a voice when we can't be a voice for ourselves. I mean, just like when we came in and you said something with a pronoun and I said something, I was being an ally, even though I'm part of the community, I can still be an ally for part of the community that I'm not myself identified as. So there can be lots of levels of ally. In general, we talk about people who don't feel like they're part of the GSM community being allies to the community as a whole. And we couldn't be where we are without them. I mean, it's really been allies who have helped us win the fight for so many of the things that we've gotten. It's not something really that people can do just on their own. They need other people that have influence and help and more voices and strength that they can add and hold us up. It's also somebody, though, that respects that voice that isn't heard and doesn't try to speak for them, but provides the platform and space for them to be able to speak and be heard. And that is just so important, that people can have that place where they can feel empowered to express and be who they are and find a place in the world. You know, I mean, there's so much isolation and restriction and rejection that happens in our community and other communities too. But, you know, I think about like all of the youth that try for suicide because they don't know where to get help and they feel really isolated. They feel rejected by their families. They don't feel like they have a place. And to some of them, that feels like the only way out. And so finding a way to help them be empowered, have a voice, have a place they can feel safe. I mean, that's so much of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also things that allies can do, just being able to be supportive and be there and, you know, let the minority take the lead.
Maya, jump right in.
We actually, if folks are wanting to learn more about how to be a better ally or to learn more about the gender and sexual minority community, we do, as a community service, once a month at least, in our office. We offer like a workshop or training for folks that can come in. We go over all of these things. We talk about the differences between gender minorities and sexual minorities and how those sometimes intersect, but not always. So people can come in for free, learn more about the community, and learn how to be a good ally if that is something that they're interested in.
So Tom Killam, I want to ask you if you would talk about the Orlando altar that's going to be available on
sure.
Friday night.
In response to the tragedy in Orlando, the shootings there and the 49 people that were killed, we're going to have a altar at the plaza during the festival, and Martha Martinez from Poma Torres is going to be putting that together. And we wanted to find a way to include that in Pride. You know, Pride in general is a celebration, but some really significant tragedies happened, and we don't want to just ignore that. We really need to include that. So having the altar there feels like a way that we can bring that into the space, be respectful of that, acknowledge it, let people have an experience of those people that were there that were killed. And you know, it broadens our community to be able to include all the different pieces of it and the bad things that happen as well as the good things.
Will people be allowed to contribute something to the altar, flowers or anything like that?
Absolutely. Also, part of the reason why the altar was really important to have at Pride is to really recognize and identify the intersections of the community, because this did happen in Florida, not only at a gay pride event, but also on Latin night. And many of the people that were killed were Latinx or Hispanic of some sort. And it's really important to identify them, recognize them, celebrate them in a way that is significant to their culture. So that is why we are having the altar. And absolutely, if people want to bring fruit or flowers or something to show their respect, that is definitely welcomed.
And where can people find out more information about all of the activities that are happening this weekend for Chico Pride?
We have a website. It's www.stonewallchicopride.com.
And also at that website, you can purchase in advance tickets. Some of the shows have a lesser price if you buy them in advance. So we like people to buy them online there. But you can also buy tickets for all of the events. You can also buy T-shirts, flags, and other little bits of merchandise.
Tom Callum and Maya Rand from Stonewall Alliance, thank you so much, and I expect to see you at some point this weekend.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us, Sue.
Thank you.
That was Sue Hildebrand speaking with Tom Callum and Maya Rand from Stonewall Alliance. The Real Issue is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by BCAC.TV. Butte County's public access television station broadcasting on Comcast Channel 11. BCAC.TV provides locally produced arts, culture, information, and entertainment from the heart of downtown Chico at 500 Main Street. New to BCAC are daily broadcasts of Democracy Now, weekdays at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. Things are changing at Comcast Channel 11. For more information or to get involved, visit bcac.tv. That about does it for The Real Issue. Stick around. Music Mayhem is up next.
I met her in a club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A, Coca-Cola.